Start of day two in February 4, 2016.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back, and welcome for three of you. Actually, the first day we went around and we all introduced ourselves, and we could do that again, actually, for the peer reviewers, good for the new folks, and then the new folks could introduce themselves as well. So, and then we'll get started with a brief recap. So why don't we do that?
I'm Ray Pribble with Janicki Environmental.
And I'm Sam Upchurch with SDII Global Corporation, sort of.
Lee Wilson from New Mexico.
Patrick Terry with Intera.
Debbie Bradshaw, OUC. Plus, people may want to sign in. And
true. Yes, we do have a sign-in sheet. That would be good.
For you didn't sign in.
Al Aiken, CH2M.
Keith Browning, OUC.
Rob Dennis, Liquid Solutions Group.
Karen, you're up.
Karen Ferguson with St. John's.
Tom Aiken with St. John's.
Sonny Hall with St. John's.
Andrew Sutherland, St. John's.
Jim Hawley with Friends of Lake Park.
Dale Smith, St. John's.
Sal Hall with St. John's.
So again, welcome. This is the second day. This will probably be a pretty short day. We had a really, really good first day of the workshop. We went through the peer review panel, went through in detail comments related to model input data, calibration, and then the structure and content of the report. We ended the day talking a lot about major themes, and one of those that Shaw needs to and St. John's needs to look at first, it's sort of something we need to do first before we then get into more about the baseline and you know, the model reports, is do a sensitivity analysis. And our homework for last night, and actually we sat here at the end of yesterday after the workshop, and Shaw and Dale came up with during the workshop we came up with a potential list of variables on which to do the sensitivity analysis, and then they thought through what potentially the range of change to those variables would be and what the approach would be. So, and maybe it'd be best for one of you guys to walk through this table to, and then we can discuss whether we want to change any of this, and because this is what sort of the first task that Shaw will do, and I'll talk about the schedule later and what that looks like, adding the sensitivity analysis to the schedule. But we could first talk about this, and then Lee has some other things that we want to get to before the schedule. But so one of you like to go?
We're going to arm wrestle for a second.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is basically the list we came up with. So
I know you haven't changed that's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Because I know you do. You know, things that
no, I did not.
I guess, you know, the first thing, looking at the variables, what I thought I understood, you know, one time we talked about evaporation and rainfall, and then we started talking about runoff, and we said if we change the runoff, essentially, that would be a surrogate for evaporation and rainfall because it's watered to the lake. Did I understand that correctly? That's why that is struck.
I think that's okay for now. We might revisit that after we see the result. It's not a complete, it doesn't completely capture it.
In my mind, the runoff component was really not asking the question of what's the effect of precipitation so much as plus the effect of those land use decisions. Sure. That
but isn't it the same thing? We want to do the same thing?
Well, they're close. I don't think it's
well,
the same
okay,
thing.
So what you're saying is if we did both precipitation and runoff and they were different,
then that would tell us something.
That might tell us
okay,
something.
Okay, we can put it back on the
yeah,
table.
Yeah,
like you said, that's what at least I thought I had understood while we were discussing.
Well, I mean, you could tell from what I just said. I'm a little bit confused about it myself. I'm not really sure.
Well, you can
how
you
it'll address the problem.
I think I'd like a climatic variable.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Separately standalone, and I don't think runoff, because it's a land use variable, is sufficient for climate.
Okay. And I would like to see a land use variable.
Well, that's
and I think that, at least in a lumped variable, really crude way, could be a surrogate for that.
Right, and that's why we'll vary the runoff by increasing it 10%, decreasing it 10%, and then...
I don't even know if you need to decrease it. I mean, it's not like we're going to carve up something. Go ahead.
I'll give you 3 points.
Easy enough to do. Easy enough to do. Right, thank you. Good concept.
Okay.
Okay, so that's back in.
So, you know, that's back in. And I guess...
10%.
While we're there, about 10%, increase the rain, increase the ET. Okay. The potentiometric surface, don't really know how sensitive that's going to be. We put a foot, didn't know if a foot is not enough. We need to go 3, 4, 5, what?
I don't think it's enough.
Yeah.
Can you at least make it 2?
What do you think, Patrick? Think 2? My first guess was 5, and I got voted down. Yeah, I was sort of...
What's the natural variability?
What?
Yeah, what's the natural variability there?
Do you remember, Sean?
It's a difference.
About 4 feet.
On the lake bottom average, it's different from the whale. The whale fluctuation might be high, but because we average the whole lake. Remember yesterday someone... The shifting of the potentiometric from the west of the Lake Apopka to the east of about 20 feet itself. But if you average it, I think it's about, don't quote me on that, but it's much narrowed up.
Sure. Yeah. But you know, I mean, potentiometric surface is something that could, in fact, vary considerably in the future. So I don't think we want to go too low. I think 2 is too little.
I mean, again, you're perturbing it, and you want to see a change,
right?
But you don't want to blow up the model. As long as we see a change, and I'm sure we will with a foot, we can still get that slope. It's 3 points. Yeah. You know, we'll get a nice slope out of it. So,
do you think a foot or be a little bit more? I mean, it really doesn't matter.
I like it bigger.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the map in the report that shows recharge and discharge to Florida and. You know, you've got that diagonal line that cuts across Apopka with discharge on the west side and recharge on the east side. What it'll do is it shifts that back and forth, I think. So it, in a sense, it's sort of linked to the seepage issue and all. But you don't want to back it completely out of the lake, I don't think.
No.
Or do you want to put it somewhere over and delay it? I think a foot will give us an answer.
Okay.
And if it looks like it's something that's important to do, then maybe we ought to consider doing more.
Okay.
But
we'll start out with a foot. We'll look at the results. And
if you see nothing, then you know you didn't perturb it enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay. So that's the potentiometric surface on runoff. We're just going to change that K value by 10%.
Seepage.
The seepage value. And, and then really the same thing with the outflow. With the outflow that we have a curve that says this delta above the regulation schedule, we have this much discharge. Mm-hmm. So we're going to add 10% to that curve. We run the model. Subtract 10% from that curve, rerun the model. So that's a fairly simple thing. And then on the input from the North Shore, if you remember, right now we are pumping the water on the base run into the lake, and we've got certain stages to try to meet our environmental criteria for a shallow marsh. We're going to lower that by a foot and run the baseline, and we'll be comparing the volumes that go into the lake. From the baseline as we have it, with turning the pumps on a foot lower.
Is there anything about this list that concerns you?
No, I mean I think it's an easy enough thing to do. It's just a matter of time. Back at the office takes more time to set it up, less time to run it, and then more time to dig all the information out. So, we were thinking maybe 2 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks, something like that.
Well, don't forget that if you find something that's really sensitive, then these are lumped variables. We were talking at least about going back and doing more to tease those apart. So
what we'll do is we'll do a little letter report and we'll send it out to everybody.
I think that's fine.
And then, I guess we can have some sort of and I give the director this some sort of a teleconference or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we put that in the our little quick schedule that we updated. So we'll put it on the web again, have time to look at it, then teleconference.
And then we can figure out a direction from there. Either it's good enough or we need to dig a little bit deeper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's your take.
Okay, nothing that needs to be added or you guys with the approach, everyone's fine.
Flush out those two columns.
Well, yeah, it's the North Shore Restoration Area. So
oh, right.
Change your W to an R.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yes, Debbie.
Question, the input from North Shore, why just a minus where everything
well,
is?
Yeah, I said well,
plus or minus?
Because we don't want to hold more water on the North Shore, do we? I thought the object was to, everybody's concerned that we're holding water on the North Shore.
True.
Right now we've got it set so we meet, the environmental criteria. One of those criteria is a maximum of 4 foot of depth on the cells. So Shaw basically went through an iterative process of, because we know what our pumping capacity is, and we haven't been given any direction. We're going to build more pumping capacity. So it was an iterative process to figure out, where to turn the pumps on so we don't violate that maximum.
That's the only one of the variables that's actually a human, directly human control. The rest are at least partly nature.
Well, and I just didn't know if there's a pot, even though, like you say, maybe our desire would be to get more. Don't know whether that's realistic in the future. Like you say, is there going to be any human element that would make it go the other way?
I know there's been a lot of discussion about using the North Shore, as a buffer when you get a large storm, put the water in, let it out. The problem is right now there's not enough pumping capacity to get the water out. You can get the water in, 4 or 5 times faster than you can pump it out. And during a wet season, you fill it up and it stays flooded. So, if you were an event modeler, one storm, you'd say, cool. You get the next storm a week later, there's no storage.
Is that,
you can't pump it down fast.
Is that the existing pumps from the farm?
No, we built a brand new pump and we're still using the Duda pumps, and then we've got this really, really old diesel pump
But Dale, you've still got the farm pumps there.
But we've only got 3 sets of working pumps that take the water out. Yeah, this is what
they've got the farm pumps there on the lake.
We've got the big diesels, but they're if you look at the water, I mean, and because people had thought this was going to be something that would really, really work, we've actually built a couple of new inlet structures that, right now, like I said, from shaving off the peak and discharging it later.
How long did you, pilot? You had what, almost 2 years where the North Shore was full?
What do you mean?
When we were trying to use the North Shore, remember a couple of years ago, we were trying to use the North Shore as the storage, excess storage for the lake. I just remember you showing me the fact that there was almost 2 years that the North Shore was fully flooded, and it never drained back down because of all the events that came in. We had an El Nino winter, and so you didn't really have a dry season. How much water in the storage? Because we could not get rid of it because the pumping capacity is so much less than the inlet capacity.
Yeah, there was some time. We have a set of criteria, weather, not less than mean that.
Right. Yeah. So we violated that wetland criterion. Like I said, I thought it was for almost 2 years.
Right.
This was a couple of years ago, and like I said, we built a couple of inlets thinking this was going to work. The inlets are there, we don't operate them.
Inlets to let water in from the lake?
Inlets to let water in from the lake.
Stored.
They built one on the AB.
You can still pump that stuff out through the big pumps. Were you using them in your study?
Yes. We took the pumping capacity that our operational people said, these are the pumps you could use. We rebuilt one of the pump
stations. I know
you
don't want up north.
Yeah,
the sandy one.
Right. We pump into the sand, we treat it with alum, pump into the sand farm, and then discharge it down the AV canal.
Okay, so I see. So you loaded it up, and then you couldn't get rid of it.
We couldn't get rid of it fast enough. We violated the environmental criteria, that 4 foot of depth, for a very long period of time.
I see. You tried to get it downstream fast?
That's what we tried to do. We actually have, you know.
You used the big pumps?
We used all the pumping capacity our operational people said. When you say all the pumps, I know we've got the Duda pumps, we've got a brand new pump station one, and we've got the diesel pumps, you know, that are, you know, sitting there right on the
three big ones right on the North Shore, the ones that pump. Okay.
So we're expecting a letter report in February.
We can
talk to his boss.
We can pull up the schedule in a second. I don't remember.
Well, he just said 2 to 3 weeks.
I said 3 weeks, but I don't set his schedule.
Okay.
We've got it here.
All right.
He used to set his schedule.
I used to set his schedule.
All right. Let me say this. You think it could be done in 3 weeks. Whether you commit to it, we'll hear later.
I'm telling you, the block of work is, you know, if we put Shaw in a room by himself and had nobody bothering 3 weeks later, we'd have all the answers.
I would think it would be, if you did that, it would be much less. But that's me. I don't run the model. Okay,
yeah.
I wanted, just for the record, I don't know that it's going to produce anything, but I thought we should, our scope of work has a standard list of questions that the district asks every time we do an MFL's report. And it's very much geared to MFL type reports. It asks the kinds of questions that an MFL's study needs to have asked. We got the same list of questions for a model report. I didn't think the fit was all that great.
They're a little different.
Are they?
Yeah, they are.
I didn't notice it. But I guess maybe a little bit. But so anyway, we each of the four peer reviewers answered the questions. Submitted a report which answered, had to kind of pry it out of Sam, but he did it.
I was being goofy, I guess.
Okay. And anyway, and then I condensed, I either copied over or condensed, if it was a long response, the four responses into this table, which was distributed, I think, to the public. It's pretty short, 5 pages. I just thought I would offer first the peer reviewers. I didn't get any really, everyone was pretty much signed off on the table, so I'm not expecting anything from the peer reviewers, but let me just say if they want to say anything, they can. Mostly I want to hear Dale and Shaw, if they have any questions to us as the peer reviewer, if anything we said was not understandable, which is certainly within the realm of possibility, if you're satisfied and Sunny and Andrew,
I'm
you're satisfied that the matrix satisfies our responsibilities, the district is ready to do whatever the district's going to do with it.
Right, I think so, yeah.
I just want the record to be
sure
done that we've done this piece of work.
Yeah, sure.
And discussed it publicly.
And we do need to have the part where you guys ask them any questions, and this can be part of it, but also any other clarification you guys need as far as. And I think right now, because we have this interim goal of the sensitivity analysis, I think we're all clear where we are. So.
But if there is anything, this is the time.
I think we got your message loud and clear. It should have been a lot more detail in the report. And I think that will, answer, or at least go a long way in answering a lot of these questions.
And you have the option, we're not telling you how to do it, but you have the option of doing more than one report.
Right. I think we've decided right now it's two reports. It's a calibration report, which will have a discussion of the hydrology of the existing data in more depth. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be an application, which will be the baseline plus the MFL setup and how we're going to process that. And is that in their work order to review that second report, or do we?
Well, we were, when we built this, we were figuring it was just one report, but.
But see, we always knew there was going to be an MFL report.
Well,
this schedule doesn't go out.
Yeah, it doesn't go into the MFL report yet. So we'll restructure the timeframes and the real, you know, because if we'll be looking at these interim products, and then we'll be looking at, I think we want to look into those two reports, take them one at a time.
The one thing I would say about the matrix that we just talked about is that we had a lot of our questions answered yesterday. A lot of the things that we flagged, as I know I flagged and others flagged as potential issues, we got resolved.
Yeah. And we'll do a reconciliation report, and this will be nice because this is really a good start. You know, so maybe even ask you for an electronic copy of it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, and we've got that.
And don't forget, Lee and I both provided page-by-page comments on the existing document. A lot of that's style and, you know, how you write, but use it for what it's worth, right. I think, and hope, you know, at least the intent was to help.
And it was. Yeah. You know, this hasn't gone through our communications office, and they will beat us up on the style and everything else, so yeah, we're well used to that.
So no other.
I don't have anything. Have you got anything? Thank you, Rochelle. And I've got 4 pages of notes from yesterday, so. And I'm not a note taker very often.
Only 4. We don't have any deliverable from this workshop, do we?
No.
Good, thank you.
It'll be tucked into your final.
Ultimately, that summary report hopefully will include some of the thoughts that you just said about how they've addressed that, you know.
Okay.
I would hope that final report would go into how they've addressed all your concerns or not. So if not, Shaw, or did you, Shaw? You're still looking to see what you have. Because we have time.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Can you explain the
I missed what? I'm sorry. Did you say no?
Go ahead.
We're good. Okay. Well, I think the next thing then, if we don't have any, and actually I sent this matrix out to everyone, so really, does anyone else have any questions regarding this? And then we'll move on.
Is there anything else that could be done? Because you have the wackiness of the way that the system is operated, you know, where you have one operator who will operate it, you know, drop the water level under one set of circumstances and another interpreted it differently.
That chronology of management.
Is there anything that can be done in terms of looking at the data in that same type of event to factor out, you know, how the discharge curve ends up varying?
I think what I heard yesterday was that that's going to be an explanation for the graphs that we thought were
those simulated observed
graphs that were where there was some, you know, the donut hole,
and maybe even graphically with colors
and stuff like that. That
seemed to be the way.
That, I mean, I was satisfied with that explanation, subject to seeing it written up and illustrated.
Yeah, we had talked about sort of a history.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Epiroc Ojai, and we could put sort of a timeline. Yeah, to sort of condense that, you know, sort of at a glance, this is where this structure was built, this is where this structure was built from 72 to 78, Southwest Florida operated it. Yeah, we don't know who that was, I guess. Yeah. And then, you know, we've had several operators, you know, since then. And, you know, and like I said, I can look at the graphs with my time with the district, and for two reasons. One, I know when Roger Allen left, but even if you didn't know that, you can almost tease that out of the data if you realize it. Because like I said, he was a gentleman, his main goal in life was to follow that line, and regulation schedule is a guidance that says above this line you must discharge, below this line you may discharge for environmental reasons. But he thought his job was to follow the regulation schedule. And, you know, actually in the Upper Basin, the environmentalists had to tone him down because you take a big gate and you drop 1,500 CFS, and the fish and everything really don't like it. You know, especially when you're pulling all that water off the bottom. So
is it fair to say when you give this the short history that you can give us what the regulation schedule is at the different times, or, and what I would, I think it would be helpful is, okay, this is what the regulation schedule, and this is how you tried to simulate what you thought was going on.
The regulation schedule during the calibration period, although we had two different operators, the regulation schedule is the same. What Shaw had to do in the model, because you know we don't have models that are good enough that we can actually put in this human intervention, he looked at all the data points and he developed a smooth curve, and his discharge curve is key to a distance above the regulation schedule. This is what we need for the flood control portion. So you take that delta and you can add it to the regulation schedule, and you'll know what the discharge is. And so this takes care of where it's high, where it's low, and the two transition points.
Okay.
So, and that's embedded in the model. You've even got a graphic on that, don't you, with the report, your regulation schedule, where you actually show the deltas and the discharge.
Yeah, you have a regulation schedule.
But I mean, like what you just said, if that was paragraph, that would,
okay,
I think,
we'll
be helpful.
We'll make sure that.
And I guess the other thing you were going to do is plot the points based on different years, so you can see which discharges were from different time periods. So you know this is operator A and this is Frank.
And that's what they were talking about, sort of on that stage hydrograph, sort of put marks for the different structures being built and the different operators.
I guess I could make a comment.
Sure, of course.
I'm still looking for the missing foot of water that happened here recently. And I looked at, going back to the AMO, according to my Wikipedia, they show the cycle right now as being in the warm cycle. And they speak of the warm cycle as being a time of rainfall in Florida, in the central and southern parts of Florida. So I don't know if we can hang our hat on the AMO is a problem.
It's like anything in nature, it's variable.
Right. Anyway.
We did see a lag between rainfall and the AMO they were tracking, but when we looked at it up in the Keystone area, and I think I may have that graph as well, but you could see the AMO pattern. I think it was Jacksonville.
Yeah, we actually rainfall. Had one of the lowest rainfall on record occurred at the
beginning. This is in Jacksonville, though, right?
Yeah.
See, well, they're talking about central and southern Florida.
I just mean there is a, up there anyway, there is a lag between.
And it's out of phase. It has been a little out of phase this last cycle, apparently. So.
Yeah, we haven't gotten the tropical weather that should be.
Yeah, where is it? That's our heaviest rainfall, and we're not getting the hurricanes.
Yeah.
Well, I looked at it back, this graph that Raleigh put out in the last meeting we had last summer, from 1936 to 2014. And, there was a cycle, a down cycle in both these graphs that they show on that site, Wikipedia. Where the water level drops off, and yet you don't see it in the long term here. When you look at this long term graph, the last time you saw a violent change like this over any period of time was the time they dug the canal back in 1936. Okay, and since that time, the water level, although it gyrates around about plus or minus 2 feet, it never showed up like it did in the last 17 years. And one of the things I think you could do, Sean started to do it, was to compute all of the inputs into the lake and all the outputs. And then compare that volume of water, that delta, with the change in water level in the lake. You have as best as we can. Then you can look and see what the net effect of the bottom of the lake was. And if you see a big change there, as I think you will, accounting for a good bit of this drop, because I don't think the farms made up all this. That kind of a I don't know if you could, if it'll work out. I mean, we got wind on that lake, and how well you measure the height of that lake, you know, and, but if you take enough data, you might get some real good answers as to what's going on in the bottom of that lake, because we'll never find out by any other means, seepage and inflows. I mean, this is beyond the scope of what we could do.
Well, Jim, that's one of the beauties of the sensitivity analysis.
I understand.
You know, it'll tell us that what's going on in the bottom of the lake is
but this would
important,
tell you.
And that's our message to then dig in.
Okay, dig in. All right.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to just stop by saying that the model is sensitive to seepage.
Right.
We'll have to have an explanation of that.
Right. Okay.
Hopefully.
I said my piece. There is a... you were speaking about the unevenness of the Florida in the area. And this is a plot of some of the wells that were running as of 2015. And you can see that there's a large number of wells down in the southeastern part. And up in the northeastern part, there's not. Be interesting to know when these wells started operating. That would be some, especially the ones that are taking 5 million gallons a day or more.
So, Jim, are you saying that you see something in the data of the last 19 years as a
17
shift?
17 years, yeah.
17.
This was taken from the last review we had in last summer. Or what was it?
That's the PowerPoint that was handed out.
That was, Raleigh's discussion.
Yeah.
It was dated 2/5/15. And it shows a real big drop in the water level starting about in 1998. And continuing. And last year, we never got above the other peak. This year, we're getting more water. So we are coming up some. But this is partly due to the El Nino, yes. And it's very happy to hear that. I'm overjoyed. But this curve here shows definitely something's out of whack to me.
Yeah. And we're seeing, as I said yesterday, we're seeing that same trend looking at different lakes around the area, that some of them don't have any real effective consumptive use on them.
Yes, that's right. You could see some of that trend in some of these lakes. As you go further downstream, it's less noticeable. But you can see some of that in the Mount Dora Lake.
But even lakes in the Ocala that have absolutely no are showing the same.
And I think part of it is I think Apopka acts more like an isolated lake in a sense. It's the way it's operated and all.
It doesn't have anything running into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more like a landlocked lake, and you just let water out. When you get high levels of flooding here.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that you couldn't get rid of the stuff you loaded up into the marsh. Maybe we don't have to load it so much, but we could still do something.
But that can all be looked at, like we said yesterday. We can the model's finished, and we can look at different management options.
I'd love to come up and talk to you, Sean, if that's okay with you guys.
Sure.
Okay. Well, there are no other questions regarding the matrix or the sensitivity analysis, I think. We may be down to the last item of business, which is we updated the schedule. And this, again, this is kind of a option B, because we've asked Shaw to do a lot of things. And if he doesn't work on Cowpen Lake for us and has time to work on this is what he thinks right now the schedule would look like. So we just put this in there. So it does get you that sensitivity in this month, by the end of the month. And then
this is a question I had for people, is a week, do I need, we can just do this on the fly, is a week enough time to review what he gives you? Do we need to make it 2 weeks or?
1 week should be sufficient.
Okay.
I think.
Anybody else? We'll be placing it on the web, and then we want basically to have everyone have looked at it by the 7th when we could have a teleconference to discuss it. Now, we could throw in an extra step there of everybody put their comments on the web and everyone can look at their comments, or we can just come together and discuss our comments. I don't know that at each step we need to add that extra couple of steps of putting everyone's comments on the web. Everyone looks at everyone's comments, and then we can, you know, it's just making the schedule.
Yeah, as long as we've got minutes from the teleconference, I would think that that would suffice.
Simpler is better.
Mm-hmm. You all okay with that?
How's that typically done in the past with minutes? Is there an easy way to record a teleconference?
Or you can record.
I'm not done.
Is it our system?
I would think so. Okay, so that would be early March that we'd be coming together again to discuss that. And then...
Are these dates firm or
well, no. Anything? We just... I mean, this is what Sean thought about last night. We put it up here.
You're going to send this out also, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he might get into the calibration report and he realizes he's not going to be done by May 30th or whatever.
I think what you need to realize is after we do the sensitivity study,
it may,
we have to dig into more.
Right. Absolutely.
So this is very optimistic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would assume...
The study is truly a defensive thing.
Sure.
It doesn't show anything.
So it's right here that there could be something before before this that pushes everything else, and that's them digging more into whatever parameters. So
it's going to be a dynamic schedule.
As it has been.
I guess to answer the five-day review, how are you going to present the results of the sensitivity?
What we're going to actually issue a little bit of a letter report with graphs and tables.
So you'll have a graph that shows the deviation.
And that's explaining those graphs and tables. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can add some time to this if people.
Let's not add any time until we have to.
Okay, and we will.
Yes, we will. We know that. But if we add it now, we'll just add more later.
Right.
Take it
and so this is optimistic schedule, and so it may be that he's not working on the calibration report early March. He's working on they're working on the sensitivity analysis.
Drilling down
more. But if he was and he was done with the calibration report into May, then we put that on the web, and then. Now, this one we may want to change. You might want more than a week to look at that calculation report.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We can put that at a month or 3 weeks or whatever you guys think. This is the part that...
Well, I mean,
what
is the goal of this particular schedule since we...
What's that?
You know, an item two, we're already... Who knows after that?
The week that
I mean, you're just... These are almost placeholders.
Absolutely. The whole thing.
The
whole... Yeah. That's what all of our MFL schedules are. It'll be mid-June. Yeah. So it'd be while they're reviewing, he'll be in China. So.
And the idea with this is that we would just review the report, but not write a set of responses like we're doing now. We would just deal with it in a teleconference. I mean, that seems to be what you're suggesting.
Well, Andrew, do you plan on the reconciliation, you know, review the report and the reconciliation document you prepared at that time? I mean, that would make the review a little bit easier.
Ultimately, we do need a resolution document, whether it comes at this stage or whether ultimately it's part of that summary.
The less you get sidetracked on something like a resolution report, the happier I'll be if you're working on the model.
Okay.
You guys have your own protocols that you have to follow, but I'll speak for myself. I don't need those kinds of...
I just put it in the file.
It goes right in the file. I mean, I'll read it, but my attitude is, unless you've just totally screwed it up, which I don't think will happen.
We trust you to resolve it.
Okay.
you know.
I mean, we're doing it more for our documentation.
Right, you know? Right.
When we come together to discuss both of these reports, I don't think we need another formal thing from you. It's really, you'll come with your comments. And
it's a lot faster for us to read it and come to a conference than it is to read it,
yep,
then reread it and write something.
Sure.
And, well, and 5 days is not enough to do that.
Yeah.
Not only that, you're going to completely redo the report into two reports. That's a resolution document as far as
it
I'm
is.
Concerned.
Yeah.
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 We'll judge whether you resolved our comments based on those reports.
Well, that was going to be my suggestion. If we get another crack at, you know, giving you formal comments that then get resolved, because I think,
yes,
the number of things that have to get resolved will significantly,
yeah,
decrease.
Yeah. I think all those comments will be part of the record. It just won't be in this formal, like a matrix and all that. It'll just be, we'll take all your comments and we'll incorporate it. Ultimately, there will be the summary document that kind of wraps it all up. But
I guess the one thing you could do for us is when you send out the revised report, if there's something that is really nagging at you, that you said, you know what, this was really a dumb idea, and we didn't do it because it was a dumb idea, you could flag that to us.
Okay.
Okay?
I ran a regulatory program.
There's
three answers. Yes, I agree with you. There's no, I don't agree with you. And the worst answer is to ignore the person. So you'll get the first two.
Okay.
And if he does say it's a dumb idea, he'll tell you why he thinks,
yeah,
it's a,
yeah,
dumb idea.
Yeah, of course.
Well, it would be a little bit nice. <for us.
laughs> So it sounds like, though, that we need to add a little more. Sorry, I'm taking notes on that.
In some ways, it's a little simple.
If you're not coming together again with some sort of formal comments, but just coming back and we're either meeting in another workshop like this or calling in, you guys tell me what you think in terms of week, number of weeks, if it's not 1 week.
For reviewing it?
For reviewing that. Once we put it on the web, then...
and then coming together to discuss.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but I have no idea what else I'm going to be doing that week.
Sure.
A week is enough, but I don't know if that week,
sure,
or any particular week, I can tell you now, is going to work. So,
well, one thing too,
a couple of weeks for, yeah, it,
at least 2 weeks.
One thing too that I haven't worked in here is Shaw won't be back until mid-June. Which this isn't quite, it is almost mid-June. So we know this workshop will be probably toward the end of the third week of June. So really, you might as well take it till,
right,
then.
Just give us 2 weeks instead of one. That would be happy.
Well, even more, because that if I make it three, it'll push it toward the third week of June. And that's when
we're reviewing a report.
Yeah, that'd look better, because then, yeah, we're not having the workshop till like the 20-something of June. And you'll be back.
But I mean, my envision of this review is at two levels. One is, are we satisfied that the model's calibrated? And that's job one. There's obviously going to be editorial things, but unless your editorial people have done their thing already, I'm not going to fuss with that all that much.
Yeah, that'll be something that'll be done after the fact.
So, you know, there may be, this is not sufficiently documented, I don't understand what you did, but the bottom line is going to be, I like the calibration. It better be the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's what we hope for.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah. Okay. And then, like you said, these are really just placeholders, but...
I don't have any problem with the teleconference to talk about the sensitivity analysis.
But you want a workshop.
But I think after we have the paper in hand and so on... I really like this face-to-face format, mm-hmm, and it's actually, I think, a lot more efficient than everybody, you know, talking over the phone.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree. We were thinking that, you know, Lee, because of his travel, but we've got some things we'll have him maybe doing if he comes. We'll get a couple
bootstrap
of things.
Bootstrap him in.
We'll bootstrap him and make sure we get a couple other things done at the same time, but We were thinking that we would have a meeting like this, and then potentially Lee might chair it from a distance. You know, we might do that, and we may have to do that just because of cost, you know, on some of this. But we would get most of us together face to face. But I like the face to face too. I prefer.
Well, yesterday was certainly very productive. Mm-hmm. Much more productive, I think, than any conference calls we've had.
I mean, I tend to put the phone on mute and sit there and work on something else, so that's bad practice.
Yeah. Since we don't really know, we don't need to focus too much on the dates, but it's really more about after we have the, let me expand this one. After we've discussed the calibration report, we'll also at that workshop be discussing the plan and any further plan, anything we need to talk about for the next deliverable, which would be the application report, which would include both the baseline model report and, you know, talking about not only how is the model going to be used for MFL assessment, but also this idea of uncertainty and how does that affect the MFL assessment would be potentially part of that. I mean, something like that I think could be part of either the MFL report or the baseline report. So
my sense is the baseline report is going to be very easy, quote, easy, if we are satisfied with the calibration.
Sure.
First report, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, and the reason we put 90 days is some of this might be how does various management affect, or what do you do about flood if you, you know, manage it different ways and you try to meet your MFL, what to do flooding downstream, and all of that needs to be worked out, and that's why the 90 days. But that may not be that long, and it may be that we don't include that in this. That might be more of a management.
Well, you know, we've got a separate project on, you know, regulation schedules.
Right.
And that's really where we need to discuss, right, you know, the flooding issues. Sure.
And so that's why I'm thinking maybe this isn't 90 days. Maybe this really is just getting the baseline model and the MFL scenarios done.
Right.
And
And I think, you know, from what I heard yesterday, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, we need to have agreement from everybody. What do we put in this baseline model? You know, do we use APOCA? Well, they're not doing it now. Is that within the baseline model?
Well, no, city of APOCA.
The end of permit when we do, mm-hmm, you know, additional work. So we need to make sure that everybody agrees that, you know, this is the baseline model that the MFL will be. Yeah.
And so that'll be part of this workshop as well. So that's why I put and plan for application report. So those types of things, right, would be.
Yeah, we'll talk internally with the district and then share that with everybody and see how we feel, you know, if y'all are in agreement.
Yeah, sure. Before the meeting.
And I've just got one day for that workshop. So.
Yeah, that should be.
So this 90 days, if we don't get into the management stuff and the effects on flooding, et cetera, it would likely be shorter than the 90. So that would be good. The currently adding this in and breaking the report into two and doing the sensitivity analysis, even if we don't dig into it, pushes us past rulemaking in 2017, which is a whole nother issue. So if it doesn't take 90 days, that's great. But that time may be as part of the sensitivity analysis anyway. So,
well, it's still ahead of the schedule you had yesterday.
True. Absolutely.
Al, do you know have any feeling for the prevention recovery strategy development and all that?
It's going to be a while.
Yeah.
Just because of the nature of it. And it'll also be, you know, down here the first go-round of prevention and recovery strategies. So there'll be a lot of just, you know, baselining.
Yeah.
You know, well, what does it mean?
Does
what
end of 2017 look even possible?
That's
so
what I'm
so optimistic. So me sweating up. 2017, well, this probably isn't.
Well, I think you should adhere to your schedule.
Sure, absolutely.
And
we
let things roll.
Do, yeah.
Yeah.
We have, just for y'all's benefit, I think most of you know, we have to have the, when we go forward with the MFL, the prevention and recovery strategy basically has to go along at the same,
right,
time.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, so there'll be just a lot of discussion onto what is a prevention and recovery strategy, how does it play into an MFL, and how does that play into permits?
Yeah.
So that discussion has really not come to fruition yet.
And that's going
to
be a lot.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be lots of talks.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't think we're going to be holding up the schedule.
Well, while you're talking about other things, I mean, you've got the MRV and maybe one, or I guess you guys call that.
Source value assessment.
Oh, the WRV, yeah.
Yeah.
In the MFL.
W, not M. Yeah, WRV.
Yeah, because that'll come along after we get this modeling, so.
And we could look at, I actually didn't, I didn't cascade this all the way through the rest, but basically because some of our milestones were pushed by 2 to 3 months, our end date that I showed yesterday of December would get pushed by 2 to 3 months. So that schedule I showed yesterday currently, or not, if we could pare that part down then, and still try to meet 2017.
Yeah,
we're going to still try to meet 2017. So
yeah. And any, when y'all look at the schedule, if you've got any ideas about trimming it, let us know. I mean, because we're trying to accommodate.
Well, yeah, I mean, my suggestion to trim is, you know, we were advocating for things to be done more in parallel than sequential, because to us, they're interrelated, the MRV and the MFL.
Yeah, those will go
along. You know, and now I even, I think you guys brought up a good point yesterday, which is the regulation schedule. So, I mean, there's...
That's what it all, after all
to
that.
Me is comprehensive, yeah. And needs to, I mean, I know we have to work on them, get them good, but then bringing it all together. So
I think
it,
the regulation schedule would affect prevention and recovery, but it's independent of the MFL.
And at one time it was one project and we actually split it apart because we didn't want these targets, as we call them, for the regulation schedule to become the MFL, because they would be targets that would be set possibly higher and lower for, you know, environmental almost enhancement. And we said, no, an MFL is not an enhancement. It's what is needed for, you know, right now.
It's a minimum.
Yeah, so we were working them both together for a while, had a lot of discussion, and actually split them.
Yeah.
So we need to get the MFL. What we really need is the lava as good as it's going to get before we do anything. There's no sense playing with any sort of regulation schedule change until we have best model.
Exactly.
Well, also Lake Apopka has the opposite of being on the upper end of the hydrograph. If it were run that way, because as you want to know, you know, your MFLs, you want to protect the high and the low end of the hydrograph. That's ultimately what you're trying to do, right? And with the regulation schedule and with operating out of the wetlands, you have the opportunity to raise the lake too high.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't do that, but you have the opportunity to do that. So you just can't say it's a low side, but really what it is, it's a whole hydrograph maintenance process.
Yeah, yeah. And they just want to enhance environmentally.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts in this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm still truthfully trying to get my head around, the...
I think the reason we're not doing it in parallel is because if we were reviewing the MFL and WRV right now, the answer isn't necessarily the answer once we're done with the model. So, you know, we'd be discussing all that and it might not be the answer. So the final number.
But those two pieces will go together. The water resource value assessment and the MFL will be right along together.
Yeah.
And we just want to get this modeling issue and then we can bring in the conclusions.
So you're seeing that the resource value, you're seeing that the resource value and the MFL report being done more in parallel.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And be looking at them at the same time.
We'll have to.
What?
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah.
I haven't updated the dates, but you can see, they're kind of going, like if I get down to peer review, it's for both. And so they'll be going together.
We've got to stay a little because we've got the same people looking at both of them. I mean, you know, these guys are pretty efficient, but, and we don't want you've got the same people looking at them too, right. So we've got to have a little
more time.
And getting back to your prevention and recover issue, is are other MFL water bodies going to be subjected to that process before Apopka and the upper? Okay, so at least there'll be some of that baseline stuff that's going to have its worked its way through.
Yeah, we want to get some of those lakes that we've been wanting to move forward. We want to get them going here pretty soon.
Sylvan, Pravet,
Johns, and Avalon, whatever we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those are scheduled for 2018, the ones
you I'm just thinking of.
Not Avalon. Avalon.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Avalon didn't, but there's talk of...
I'm just saying regarding that, there's going to be just a community lag to understand prevention recoveries and how prevention recoveries interact with MFLs.
Yeah.
And so depending upon where, if you're the first out of the chute or probably the first out of the chute, it's going to be probably lagging just because of that interaction.
Yeah.
And as you move through the process. It's the first on the priority list.
Yeah.
But excuse me. It's pushed.
Yeah.
If it gets pushed, then it's at the same time as a bunch of stuff, like Wakaiva.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're trying, like Wakaiva, even in these lakes that we're talking about, we want to try to get them going now.
Yeah, right.
Just because the process takes so long, you know.
Yeah.
As we do like this one.
Yeah. I think that's a great, because we're having a hard time, like, well, it's sort of a chicken and an egg with the different MFLs, and the prevention and recovery is going to tend to look at more than one MFL at a time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So we
realize that. So, like, we're trying to get the modeling, the Wakaiva modeling review, will be starting sometime in not too distant future. You know?
Okay.
And these other lakes we're talking about having a workshop sometime just to, you know, for the stakeholder, let's all settle. Are we comfortable doing it this way, or we need to do it this way? We want your input on that, because we'd like to streamline the process if we can. But we also realize you got certain things you want to have done, you know. So we want to try to integrate that and come up with a streamlined process as we can for these reevaluations.
Again, back to the placeholder schedule. If there are no other sort of, you know, tasks or steps that we need to add, then we'll kind of stick with this. I added more time for this review period of this report as well, but unless you think we're missing anything here, we're basically, since it's a sensitivity analysis, realizing that may expand, and then time to look at the calibration report, come together in an actual face-to-face workshop to discuss how to move forward with the baseline model, scenario runs, and application report, then put those results on the web, come together, have time to review it. I've got 15 days, so 3 weeks now, come together again. And then that's kind of where we are. And then I think at that point we can see what's left, what questions are left, and then if none, hopefully, wrapping it up in this summary report of how everything's been addressed, I guess, is the main thing. I mean, we kind of said summary report of comments, but it's really the comments and how they were addressed. And it could probably be just the main themes, again, not all the detail. I don't know.
Any way to make it more concise. So are you all comfortable with us? I mean, if we try to streamline it a little more and not, like in this first round, you know, we wanted you to submit your comments and everybody had time to look at them all. Because we've kind of resolved a lot of issues, could we speed that up by saying, okay, we're gonna give you X amount of days to look at these things, and then we come together and we discuss it, and you give us your comments at that time. Are you all okay with that? And then you're going to hear what they have to say, and you have your time to input as well. Jim, are you okay with that?
So we've got to lock in, as I understand it, we've got two dates we want to walk in, make sure the peer reviewers are available.
At the end of the two reports? Right?
No, I'm talking about the one that's provisionally right now, March 7th.
Right.
Conference call on the sensitivity report.
Yep.
The letter memo that you sent out. And then later, late June, for the calibration report.
Yeah.
Right. Once.
And I don't think, you know, those are the two that we have to lock in.
Yes.
And everything else is somewhat contingent.
Some time.
March 7th
or something. We need to settle. We need all four of us need to be available on Sunday, and the crew need to be available.
Well, I won't even be placing it on the web until the...
Yes, right now, tentatively, the 21st.
And then their time is the following Monday. So originally you gave me fewer, I think you said 14 days. I don't know. I pushed it out to this Monday because, so I won't even be putting it on the web till the following Monday. If you need more time there, then just tell me and we can, for the sensitivity analysis.
Yeah. So that's for real seven. Just the minimum stuff. Eight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's a day I'm off.
Okay. I added more days. Let me go back to what you originally gave me. It's quicker to check my email on my phone than on this. Apologize here, guys. We need to make sure we get his time in there because it affects the...
Andrew, I guess I assumed all this was contingent because you don't know the answer about which one he'll be working on. Is that still the case?
Well, we're working to make sure this one happens. And
okay, so you're fairly confident.
No, she means as far as whether he would be working on Calpin versus this.
Yeah.
We've been talking over the past day, and we're going to try to get that work
shifted to someone else.
Okay.
So that he can devote his time.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, he wanted me to start this on 8. That's the issue. Okay, so this will shift this just slightly. So if that's that, then we're at Tuesday through a Monday. This is still going to work if we do like the Tuesday of 1 week through the Monday of the next, and then have the teleconference on that following Tuesday. Is everybody? See, it really doesn't shift it by one day, but, okay, but that's
yeah,
good.
That's good. I just
have a nervous feeling I've got something.
Okay.
But we can also. All of us will check. All of us will check, and we'll. We're zeroing in on that time frame.
Yes, let me know if Tuesday the 8th works, and also if that cascades down through here. This is actually not linked to this. It's really a function of when Shaw gets back from China. Now, when are you getting back? Do you know?
I don't know exactly. Mid of June, that's about.
Middle of June. So does the 22nd seem reasonable, or do you?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I have a book and I take it. I have a final.
But if we go ahead and sort of lock in with folks the 22nd, you're feeling better. Do you want to?
Maybe.
That's a.
Enough. What about end of June?
That's a Wednesday. What about that following Monday?
Andrew?
Yes.
March 8th is our board meeting.
I'm in trial that week. That following Monday would be better for me, actually.
Okay. Say that
board meeting. March 8th is our board meeting.
Oh, so let's not.
What I think you want to do right now is have the four peer reviewers give you their availability.
Sure.
That second week of March and that last 10 days of June.
Sure.
And you guys can take those dates and internally decide when you're available and set something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does that work?
Works for me.
So would the next day after the board meeting be fine? Or do you want more time between, like, do you have things to do right after the board meeting that you want to not be?
I think just the day before and the day after.
Be okay, yeah. We can do it the day after.
Okay.
Well, you're going to get our schedule, and that may
push
it who knows where.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not opposed, you asked the question about the 5 days going into more or less more review and then come to a workshop. The only question about that is, and it doesn't necessarily need to be reflected on the schedule, is there's probably still nice to have an opportunity for some formal comments as a result of the revised sensitivity analysis and the workshop discussion. Just whether it's, you know, within 5 days after, please provide any comments you had on that, because then it may factor into the completion of the draft report or not. It was the question of how can we record the teleconference. So it's nice, you know, it's a balance of being able to move the process, but having a, you know, accurate documentation of what was stated and some of the discussion or some of the key points that stakeholders and peer review might have had. So I'm not sure how that plays in, but some opportunity for written.
Yeah, I think that's why I was a moment ago. I spoke about, are you all okay? We try to streamline this, and we just come together in a teleconference, and you can send them if you want, But you also could bring them at that meeting. And
well, that might be the way to do it. I'm just saying that there might be some also, it's, again, relying on a transcript or a recording of a teleconference that everybody leaves and says, okay, we all understood what everybody was saying. You know, it may not get us, ultimately, a stream. You know, the streamlining process may result in hiccups. So it's really just a process for... That might be fine. Everyone, you know, bring...
You come and you have
if
your...
If you have or want to share written comments, mm-hmm. they're due by at this time or they're...
Well, I think just due at the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, the way we had it for this first step was they were due by a date. We put them on the web. Everybody looked at them. And, you know, and we were just trying to, since there are so many other steps, remove those 2 to 3 steps before each of these conferences.
And that's perfectly fine. It's just so that that's clarified up front that that's the date to bring some...
The comments that would...
to make it clear to everybody to make sure the date...
Reviewers would bring...
When we send out a notice for this teleconference, for the sensitivity analysis, and for the subsequent workshops, we can make that clear in the notice to the...
And again, it's more of in just trying to streamline. It may not even be appropriate for some, but some people may feel strongly about something and want to send an email and say, please make sure that this is discussed, or we'd like to hear how this is resolved, or what, sure. You know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Trying to move it along so that that also will streamline it by getting some of those things at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And there were people that were here yesterday, aren't here today. They're not privy to this conversation. Yeah, we can do that. We'll just make sure that everybody, if you've got comments, get them, bring them to that meeting. You can send them prior to the meeting if you want, whatever. You know.
Yeah, if we receive them beforehand, we'll send them to the panel.
We can put it on the web so that everybody can look at them if they want to for the telecom. So as soon as you send them to us, we'll make them available to everybody. But it may be that it's the day of.
Would you be making that a no later than the day of the meeting for comments? Something like that?
Yeah.
Instead of a lag period after the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yeah, I just think it'd be good to have whatever it is, it is.
Have them by this date.
Right.
Have them by the teleconference date or whatever, right. At the very least. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just trying to come up with ways to streamline this because we don't want to... We don't want to rush people. You know what I mean? We were trying to give in this first go around as much time as we could. And well, hopefully we'd be able to streamline it.
And as you move through the process, that will funnel itself.
Mm-hmm. Can you share that thing when you get all this figured out?
Yeah, we can put it. We can put it in an Excel file and send it to everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, when we get...
Yeah, once it's clarified.
With once we know what... At least where we are today, you know, when they get their dates to us, because obviously it's going to be free form in a way, because if after we have a teleconference, we may be changing the schedule again, you know.
Always subject to change.
Yeah, exactly. You know how plans are. Eisenhower said, it's your quote.
Yeah, you planning is essential, all plans are wrong. It's a quote from Dwight Eisenhower.
Yes.
You're the best military planner we've had.
Yeah.
As soon as you hit the beach, you got to do something different.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I think we're good with the schedule. We'll update it once we get input from everybody. I'll send that to everyone. I'll put it on the web. And that'll get us at least to that first teleconference. And it may change. So, I guess we can open it up to any final questions anybody has. The next step will be St. John's doing the sensitivity analysis and us coming back together to discuss that. So if there are no other questions or issues, I think we're going to...
Yeah, and we'll plan on meeting, right? Our goal will be to meet here again. You know, we didn't know how many people... We had no clue how many people, stakeholder-wise, would show up for this meeting.
Maybe the thing to do is...
I think you've got everybody now with the additions from yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then I think we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. I think when we get into the MFL reports and all that, I think there'll be more people coming.
Sure. Yep. All righty. Well, thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Who's doing Calvin?
End of workshop.